Good evening, ladies and gents. Welcome to the special Fat Tuesday edition of the preseason podcast of the year. I'm your host, Jay Hicks, here with the Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We're recording this on a Tuesday evening, Tuesday, March the 4th. Hopefully, with any luck, we'll get this to you by tomorrow, the 5th. And, you know, I'll be all up in your earlobes with all that wax and all that stuff you got up in there. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot to cover this evening on the podcast. We're going to talk a little LeBron James. That guy tends to stay in the news. He's pretty good at basketball. I don't know if y'all ever seen him play before, but he is not bad. He had a pretty good ball game last night. I don't know if you heard about it. Lost tonight, though, to the Rockets, but that's another story for another day. But we're going to talk a little bit about LeBron's game and about his much-speculated-upon return to Cleveland this upcoming weekend, although maybe not in the capacity you may have expected if you haven't heard yet. We're going to get into that a little bit later. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about Rick Ross. Got a new album out, you know. This is not the Miami podcast. It just so happens, you know what I'm saying? We got Brian, now we got Ross. You know, Ross dropped the album this week. Today, actually, Mastermind is in stores. So if you're prone to buying music, by all means, support his music. If you're prone to stealing music, like some people I know, you know, go for it and do that. You know what I'm saying? Do you. But we're going to talk a little bit about his album. And we're going to talk a lot about my man 50 Cent. He's been in the headlines of late. Controversial guy. He tends to stay in the headlines, I guess. And if he's not, he kind of comes up with a reason to be in the headlines. But first of all, I want to introduce to you our special guest for the evening on the Your Ad Here podcast telephone line. I need to start finding some sponsors for the podcast, so we're going to call this, in the meantime, the Your Ad Here hotline, and that's what this is. It's the Your Ad Here hotline on the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast. Very special guest joining us once again for the second time, my brother, Kenneth Hicks Jr., author, father, you know, dark-skinned guy, trying to bring dark-skinned people back, I guess. I don't know how else to describe you, Kenny. How would you describe yourself?
That's a good question, man. You know, I feel at home here. First of all, you know, I'm back on the show. I'm the most regularly featured guest on the show, so that's got to count for something.
That is factually correct. You are the first guest to make multiple appearances on the podcast, so congratulations.
Yes, I'm going down in the history books. I would describe myself as a all-around GGTK. Good guy to know.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I won't refute that. I mean, in the past, you know, we had our tiffs in the past, but you know, these days, you know, you're pretty cool, I think. And these people know you. They all heard the first podcast, and you know that you were featured on. And if they didn't, what the hell is your problem? You know what I'm saying? Hit the website, hiphopsportsreport.com. Hit us on Twitter as well, at HHS Report. Kenny, let's not waste any more time, man. 50 Cent left Interscope Records this past week. Or actually, no, that was a couple of weeks ago almost. He left Interscope officially. And he, I guess, 50 hasn't been able to put out an album in like 5 years, basically, is what this boils down to. 50's been on G-Unit, which is like a subsidiary of Shady, which is a subsidiary of Aftermath, which is a subsidiary of Interscope, which is a subsidiary of Universal Records, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm learning that the record industry is a lot like the TV industry. There's like three record companies that like run everything, and everybody else, no matter how they slice it, they all fall in between like these three giant companies. But and I'm about to touch on that too in a second. But 50 left Interscope. And so no more Shady Aftermath, no more Interscope for 50 Cent. He's taken himself as an artist and G-Unit Records over to Caroline Capital UMG, which is, I guess, is like three different subsidiaries, right, which are actually all another subsidiary of Universal. So he's not really leaving Universal, but he is going to be considered an independent artist, and he is going to have the freedom to put out music as he sees fit, I guess, put out music without any kind of hurdles and everything. I don't know if there's anything harder to do in music these days if you're an established rapper than to put out music consistently. I mean, it's hard enough if you're a nobody, it's hard enough. But, like, you would think that if you've been in the game for some time that you would have some type of clout and you'd have some type of fan base and a following. And you still see these guys, you know, you see Rick Ross got Mastermind pushed back, like, twice. Young Jeezy's album gets pushed back a whole bunch of times. We've seen, you know, Ludacris get his stuff pushed back. We've seen 50 get his stuff pushed back. I mean, it's just so common that these established artists, some of the biggest artists of the 2000s, they have the hardest time getting their music out, and it's just kind of weird how that's played itself out over the years. But the 50's gone from Interscope. Eminem gave him his blessing, and he released a statement saying he's fully supportive of 50 Cent and he's appreciative of everything he did while with Interscope. And 50, he's put out, I don't know, four albums since 2003 was Get Rich or Die Trying. Then he had The Massacre, I think was 05. Then about 07, I think he had Curtis, I think. And then in 09, I believe, was his most recent one, which I don't even remember the name of it because nobody bought it. What was that one called? Before I Self-Destruct. I don't even remember what the lead single off of that album was. And that just goes to prove the point why 50 left in the first place. What do you make of this move? I mean, is this 50 sounds like he's trying to save his career right now. It's like it's on life support. Is this going to save his career?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, I think that, you know, the thing about 50 Cent is that, you know, it's hard to bet against a guy that's had as much success as he has. Life support, I think, is a relative term. You know, for example, you take an artist like 50 Cent who has sold 10 million albums out the gate on his first album. When he comes around this time around for this new project, is he going to sell another 10 million? Absolutely not. We all know that. And deep down inside, he knows that too. But the thing is that he can still do better than a lot of artists out there in the world because of the fact that he does have name recognition. He does have a track record of success throughout his career. And the thing about it is that will he do numbers that are great for 50 Cent? No. But will they be better than a lot of other artists that come out who are a lot hotter, so to speak, in this day and age? Let's say if ASAP Ferg were to come out with an album. You know, he's hot right now. He's hot in the streets. People like him. The kids like him. Would he outsell 50 Cent? Definitely not. I think that, well, even better, Schoolboy Q dropped, I believe, this week. I don't know if the numbers are in yet for how much he's sold or how much he's projected to sell. But, you know, I think that, you know, the numbers that he did were probably going to be considered a success by Schoolboy Q standards. When 50 Cent drops his album, which I think is slated for June or July, he could do very well. And he could probably do better numbers than Schoolboy Q would do, but people will look at it as a failure because they're comparing it against a guy who went diamond his first time up to bat.
I'm pulling out the numbers for Schoolboy Q right now. And let's see what I can find here. It looks like it's number one. It's number one on the Billboard 200. Sold 138,000. 517 copies did Schoolboy Q's Oxymoron. And let's see. So Kendrick Lamar sold over 100,000 his first week. But he also dropped the same week as Taylor Swift. And we know Kendrick Lamar ain't outselling Taylor Swift. So this is actually TDE's first number one album is Schoolboy Q. So, and that's good. But to your point, though, if 50 Cent puts out an album, you believe he's going to sell over 138,000. He's going to be able to outsell Schoolboy Q. But, I mean, I guess, is anybody going to care, though? You know what I mean? I mean, because even if 50, I mean, and I know that sounds counterintuitive to say, well, this guy's going to sell 200,000 records his first week, but nobody cares. I think who's buying the music and who's listening, I think that still matters to some degree. I don't even know that 50 Cent would have the imprint on the game that Schoolboy Q would have if 50 came out and sold 175,000 his first week, for instance, and Schoolboy Q sold 138,000. And that's not to say that Schoolboy Q was like dominating the industry right now, because that's obviously not the case. But I guess my point is that 50 Cent has been around for so long. He's been around for over 10 years now on the scene as a legitimate star. And as we so often see, stars, they tend to peter out after so much time, and the sales just aren't there. And even if the sales are there because just some, you know, loyal listeners or whatever the case may be, or they hook those, you know, those suburban kids that still buy the music, they hook those kids at a certain age and they stay with it. Those are like the late adopters or whatever. Those early 50 adopters, they moved on to something else. And those people tend to set the trends in hip hop. So I don't even know that 50 would even have that kind of impact if he were to put out another album. Or I think Animal Ambition, which is an odd name for an album, I think. I mean, like what does an Animal Ambition mean? But anyway, that's his album that's coming out in June. Will his album even like have that kind of impact though, regardless? I mean, and I guess the cool thing, I guess, with getting out from under the Interscope umbrella is that he's going to have the freedom to market it the way he wants to do. It opens himself up to more options. He can get more creative with marketing schemes. You know, we saw Jay-Z. He got out from under his deal with, I think, Universal some time ago, and that gave him the freedom to market his album any way he wanted to do it. So that's how we wind up with him doing a Samsung deal and selling a million copies before the album even drops, and then dropping an album with no marketing 2 weeks after he announces it, you know? I mean, do you feel like 50 still has that kind of pull as an artist to impact the culture or to impact the rap game?
Well, I think the interesting thing about 50 Cent is twofold. Number one, this guy has a extreme desire to win. And that's the thing that you can't count out. You know, a lot can be said about his lyricism or his content or anything like that. You know, maybe the aggression in his music or maybe the way that he goes about feuding with other rappers. But the thing that you really can't dispute is that this guy really wants to win. He wants to be number one. He wants to be the most dominant. And that's something in and of itself that I don't think that you can really count out. The other thing about him that I find kind of intriguing is just the fact that I think that the younger generation wants to see him win on some, to some respect too. You know, despite the fact that he hasn't had a lot of radio success in recent years, you know, he still has songs with J. Cole. He's done songs with Kendrick Lamar. He's done songs with Wiz Khalifa. He's done songs with Schoolboy Q. So, you know, he's still, you know, the younger generation, the guys that grew up that are really running the game now are the ones who, you know, they were the ones that were jamming Get Rich or Die Trying in high school. And now they are looking at the situation and they're saying, hey, you know what? This guy, you know, he's, you know, even if he's not considered, you know, to be the man in the grand pantheon of rap music anymore or at the moment, you know, these guys still seem to at least respect him enough to pick up the phone when he calls. And, you know, so I'm thinking that the catch with that is that sometimes what happens in the rap game is that you have older rappers who have one more album left in them. And what they do is they give you the washed up mixtape record that basically is full of songs with other artists. So they take all the hot artists that they can get on the phone, call them up, and then they give you, you know, 12 tracks with all the hottest features in the game, and then they let those features carry their CD. And maybe their own content, their own lyricism don't hold up that end of the CD, but they try to let the CD float on the fact that they got ASAP Rocky or they got Kendrick Lamar or whoever is hot in the game. They got those guys to their name value to help lend to the selling of their CD. I don't think that 50 thinks that he's washed up yet, so I think that I don't know if he would go that route, but I think that it'll be interesting to see where he tries to take this moving forward and trying to revitalize his career.
So you're basically saying 50 Cent is Karl Malone joining the Lakers right now?
I didn't look at it that way. You could say that. You could say that. You know, he's a seasoned veteran. He's had, you know, success in his career. But, you know, he wants that stamp of approval. He wants people to say that, you know, he's the man. And, you know, I don't know if other people necessarily, you know, even the other guys of his stature, I don't know if they care about getting that recognition as being the man as much as he does. So, yeah, I think that maybe that is what he's looking for.
Well, allow me to retort. Okay, so, and this is more so me playing devil's advocate, but as far as him wanting to win, I mean, I get that. I think there's some truth to that. But I don't even know how true that is anymore because, for one, I mean, we saw 50. We saw the amount of music he put out and the amount of music G-Unit put out. And, frankly, we've seen his relationships with G-Unit, with Yayo, and with Lloyd Banks kind of deteriorate over time. And don't even get me started on Young Buck. You know what I'm saying? We've seen, like, none of this stuff, none of these opportunities that he's had to win in the record game have really been prevalent within the last 5 years. I mean, to Steve Stout's point, and we'll touch on this in a moment. Steve Stout said his last big hit was I Get Money. That was like 07. You know what I'm saying? Since then, we haven't really heard anything from G-Unit. G-Unit hasn't sounded or seemed united really in any level, on any level. I mean, Tony Yayo always had 50's back. And then there were rumors. I don't know if it was ever confirmed or not, but there was rumors that there was like a rift between them two. And then, you know, we never really saw a lot of music from 50 Cent himself. He's a guy of varied interests. So we saw him, you know, dabble in the vitamin water game, make a bunch of money. We've seen him dabble in boxing. We've seen him dabble with the website. This is 50.com is huge. So he's still a successful guy. You know, don't get me wrong. But as far as a musician, I don't know that he still wants to win. I mean, because if he did, we would have seen, I feel like we would have seen more productivity from him in the last 5 years. So that's one thing. The other thing is, I don't even know how much, as far as him wanting to win, I feel like we could have said the same thing about Master P back in like 2001. So like Master P, you know what I'm saying, he came from nothing in a city that was not known for hip hop on any level and grinded to the top off of selling CDs out the trunk of his car. That's like the American dream to the fullest. And he built a rap empire from nothing and became the hottest, probably the hottest rap star in like 1998, 1997, in that time. By the early 2000s, you know, P and No Limit had fell off, but, you know, he was still trying to make it, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, I feel like you could have fed that same line about, like, oh, well, Master P just wants to win. I mean, this guy's a self-made multimillionaire. Like, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars Master P's worth. I mean, he's grinded from nothing. I feel like he had that same kind of mentality, but yet we don't say that about him. Why does 50 Cent get that kind of label, but somebody like Master P doesn't? I feel like they're in the same boat. And we've seen Master P kind of fade into obscurity over time, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just don't know if that whole winning thing holds up under that when you look at it through that lens. And lastly, as far as, you know, those younger artists that you speak of, I don't disagree. I feel like those younger artists, and even those younger than the people that were in high school when Get Rich or Die Trying came out, cats that were in middle school, when elementary school, when that came out, like Soulja Boy and stuff, when he came out, he said he looked up to 50 Cent, and Kendrick Lamar is a big 50 fan, and Schoolboy Q and these guys. That all that's true. I would caution it, though, because we saw Schoolboy Q record a song with 50 Cent. That song didn't make the album. And Schoolboy even mentioned it on The Breakfast Club. He was like, man, I ain't even called 50 to let him know that song didn't make the album. And then we look at the J. Cole record with 50 was the New York Times. I love that song. That's a great record. That record was a bonus track on Born Sinner. That didn't make the album either. That was a bonus record. And then you said he had songs with Wiz Khalifa. Well, Wiz Khalifa put out two albums, and 50 Cent wasn't on neither one of them. So at what point are the young kids really doing their due diligence if they really want their childhood hero to succeed? I know I threw a lot at you.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think that, well, first of all, I think that when you have an artist like 50 Cent, who's more than just an artist. He's a mogul. And the thing is that when you have a mogul, a music mogul, their whole conglomerate is built around the music first. And, you know, the 50 understands that the music is what brought him all the other opportunities that he's had and all the other successes that he has had up to this point of his life. You know, the crappy movies, the vitamin water deal, you know, all these things that he has going for himself, G-Unit clothing line, G-Unit sneakers, all these things that he's had came about because of the fact that he was hot in music first. And it, at this point, because of the fact that his career is pretty much a shell of what it used to be, and he tried to mess around in boxing promotion for a while, and he's doing some headphones, a line of headphones. He's doing these things, and he's trying to make himself relevant in whatever way possible, but the truth of the matter is that nobody is interested in headphones from a guy who nobody wants to listen to.
I find humor in that.
But that being said, it's now his responsibility to make people want to listen to 50 Cent. He needs to make people want to be interested in what he's doing musically first, and then the windfall of opportunities that goes with that can come his way. With all that being said, though, I think that he is, I think that you have these newer guys. You know, honestly, I don't know what happened as far as why 50 Cent stopped putting out music. Because it wasn't about a productivity thing. He didn't get lazy. He wanted to make music. It was a label that was holding him up. I don't know what went down. You know, I've heard, you know, some speculation over time about various rumors as far as what maybe transpired and maybe in what could have caused things to go so sour at Interscope that Jimmy Iovine would, you know, put the brakes on a 50 Cent project. Because truth be told, even if he wasn't the hottest rapper in the game, 50 Cent would still be in a position to make Jimmy Iovine a lot of money if he wanted to. So why not explore that? Why not? I mean, he was on the last album of his record deal. He had one more album, and that Street King Immortal that never came out was supposed to be his final album in his Interscope deal. So rather than even giving him that one final album and then letting him go on his merry way, they just cut ties altogether. I don't understand it, and I don't really know why that happened. But, you know, I also have to wonder, you know, when you have all these guys that are willing to do songs with him and you know, mention him in interviews and shout him out and say that he was an inspiration and all these other things, but then when it's time to actually put out their albums, they do songs with him and they make it as bonus features or whatever the case may be. I wonder how much of that is just the politics of the game and how much of it is, you know, just these artists on their own just deciding, you know what, I can hold off on a 50 Cent song. Who knows?
Well, one person who appears to not be feeling 50 Cent too much right now is Steve Stout. And for those of you who don't know, Steve Stout is a marketing guru. He's like the World Wide West of the rap game. He's like but he's more visible than West. Like West goes out of his way to stay behind the scenes, I feel like. Steve Stout, he'll put his face out there when necessary. In fact, he wrote a book a few years ago called The Tanning of America, and then that was adapted into a four-part television series on VH1 that came out last week. Very good stuff. I got to see pretty much all four of them. They were very good. He kind of chronicles the history of hip-hop from its origins all the way up until how it helped Obama get into the White House. And Steve Stout was publicizing this TV show on the New York radio stations last week. And he did an interview with The Breakfast Club, did an interview with Angie Martinez, and said some not-so-flattering things about 50 Cent, including that he was responsible for getting 50 Cent two of his deals. I think one of them was the G-Unit sneakers deal, and there was another one, possibly the vitamin water. I forget. You might be able to remember, Kenny. I don't remember offhand which one it was, but there was two major endorsement deals that 50 got that Steve Stout took credit for and said 50 never even gave him so much as a thank you. And then He proceeded to say that 50 Cent is not one of the most influential, one of the five most influential rap artists in the game today, based on not just their rap career, but just as a businessman, influentially, that sort of thing. And apparently 50 and Steve Stout ran into each other at a Knicks game. And there were photos of 50 confronting Steve Stout, and it looked to be kind of a heated conversation. I don't think anybody knows right now what was said in that conversation, but 50 definitely got in his grill and looked like he was putting him in his place. Steve Stout is also no stranger to controversy, because anybody who remembers the Nas Diddy incident from many years ago, there was the Hate Me Now video that Nas had on his album I Am, which came out in like 99. So we're talking like 15 years ago, people. So, you know, I may have some younger listeners that may not even remember when this went down, but I remember it vividly because there was the video with, in the video, Nas and Diddy were both on the cross depicted as Jesus Christ for Hate Me Now. And Diddy appeared right alongside with Nas on the cross, on his own individual cross. Diddy had second thoughts about it after the fact, said he didn't want that video to ever see the light of day. Steve Stout, I guess, was responsible on some level for having the video go to MTV. It debuted on MTV's TRL back when Carson Daly used to host the show. I actually watched that video live with Diddy on the cross that was never supposed to air. And then supposedly a confrontation took place at a record studio with Diddy and his goons, his hired goons, kind of went to town on Steve Stout's head with a bottle or whatnot. You know, I don't know. So Steve Stout, you know, he's gotten into some hot water with artists before. Let's just put it like that. My question for you, Kenny, is what do you think? Do you think 50 Cent, do you think Steve Stout was wrong for going at 50 Cent the way he did? I mean, because a lot of what Steve Stout said was true, I thought, just the fact that, you know, 50 hasn't put out any records in a while, hasn't had a hit in about 6 or 7 years, hasn't really been relevant. May not be the most influential artist, arguably, that whole thing. Do you think Steve Stout was right for doing what he did, or do you feel like he took it personal and went too far?
Well, I have a couple points here. Number one, I think, well, first of all, I actually do remember the day that video aired, because being that we're brothers, we were actually in the house together, and I had to go to work. And the video was about to air, and you said to me, "Hey, Kenny, do you want to stick around and watch this video that's about to come on? It's the new Nas and Puff Daddy video." And I said, "I would like to see it, but I have to go to work. I'll catch it later." I never caught it later.
I don't even remember that. That's amazing.
I distinctly remember that. I will remember that for the rest of my life because I never saw the video. Not that version of it anyway.
Of course.
But that aside, I'll say that, first of all, yes, Steve Stout is correct. And the thing is that he's only saying what everybody else has thought anyway, because the facts are still all in front of all of us. And he has not had a hit since I Get Money. He hasn't. That's the truth of the matter. There were no more hits off that album, and he has had no hits since then. And he hasn't been featured on anybody else's song that's been a hit. So for Steve Stout to say that is 100% factually correct. However, I also, even last year, French Montana said something about how 50 wasn't as popping as he used to be or something to that effect, and 50 got all emotional behind it again. So I guess this is a theme in his life now, and maybe he thinks that if people aren't saying it, then it's not true, or if people don't say it, then nobody else is thinking it. But truth of the matter is, we all know what's in front of us, and we all know who's popping and who isn't. You know, you don't have to be an expert in the rap game to know who's hot and who's not. And it's been a long time since that guy's been hot. Now, I will say this about Steve Stout as well. This is just a theory, and I'm throwing it out there. I think the whole thing might be a work. I mean, these guys were on good terms. You know, they've done business together before. Steve Stout is a master guru, Svengali of marketing, you know, and, you know, what better way for 50 Cent to kickstart his new endeavors with as an independent artist and, you know, shifting G-Unit over to a new record label? What better way to kickstart all of this than with some good old-fashioned beef?
Yes.
It's not rap beef. It's not. He's not going to sit here and write a whole bunch of songs and go back and forth with anybody. But I think that 50's in a position where he could cut a big enough check to maybe, you know, get somebody like a Steve Stout to maybe just run his mouth a little much. I mean, think about it like this. 50 Cent just happened to be at the same New York Knicks game as Steve Stout.
Yes.
I've never known 50 Cent to be at public sporting event.
Not often. I've seen him, but not often. And you know what? This is amazing. This is breaking news. Breaking news to the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast. Again, Kenneth Hicks saying that he believes Steve Stout and 50 Cent are in cahoots. You know what? This is what's funny. In preparation for the podcast, I took some notes down on my phone and just jotted down some stuff that I wanted to talk about. And I wrote down, in my notes, I wrote down Steve Stout beef. The 50 Cent was the headline. Then I wrote Steve Stout beef. And then I jotted down some stuff about that. And then, and earlier I had mentioned 50 Cent leaving Interscope Records. And then my last note underneath 50 Cent was connection between the two stories. And I didn't get a chance to expound upon that in my head. But a connection between the Interscope story and this story, everything fits perfectly into place. And I hadn't thought of it until you just brought it up, but it makes perfect sense. As you said, Steve Stout, master marketer, master manipulator. He has this Tanning of America thing. He has a platform. He's doing radio in New York City, which is 50 City, of course, 50 being from Queens. Steve Stout, also from Queens, right? They've done business in the past. Steve Stout goes on all these stations and starts randomly bringing up 50 Cent's name and dragging it through the mud. 50 Cent, the week before, 50 Cent leaves and announces that he's going to do his own project. And he's going to release his own records independently and that he has a new album coming out this summer. In those same interviews, Steve Stout says that hip hop is nothing more than the WWF. He said that. He said it's the WWF. People make up beefs, they manufacture beefs, and they do it to sell records. And then, like you said, the next week, it just so happens that they're both at the same damn New York Knicks game. This makes too much sense, Kenny. You're right. You are right.
Who goes to a New York Knicks game?
Nobody goes to the Knicks. They stink. The Knicks are sorry. Nobody wants to see the Knicks. Come on.
Who are they even playing?
I don't even know. The question is, who were they getting blown out by 20 by? I don't even remember. It wasn't anybody worth seeing like that. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't LeBron. maybe it was Oklahoma City. I don't really remember. We need my man Anthony on the podcast. He's our Knicks expert for some reason. We'll get him on the podcast and talk about it. I don't know. But dude, it all makes sense. If you connect the dots, I think you're on to something. I think you really are.
I think that 50 is the type of guy who will go to extended lengths to create a buzz. And, you know, he's a showman. He's proven that up to this point. You know, the thing is that if you look at the pictures of him and Steve Stout, you know, nothing menacing happened. I mean, 50 is clearly looking kind of tense. And, you know, Steve Stout is there kind of looking a little complacent and just kind of taking the back seat to 50, who, you know, kind of commandeering the situation. But, you know, it's nothing. He didn't smack him. He didn't, you know, he's not threatening to hurt him or, you know, it's nothing that would really demean Steve Stout's character. It just looks like an aggressive moment between these two people.
You are right. You are totally right. In the interest of time, I want to move off 50 Cent real quick and touch on Rick Ross. He put out Mastermind today, which I thought was an interesting choice of album title. I clowned Rick Ross a couple of podcasts back because he went out of his way to always say that like his work was never going to get pushed back, that kind of thing. And you know, and then all of a sudden his album got pushed back. This album was supposed to come out originally, I want to say at the latest, like December of 2013 at the latest. It may have even been supposed to come out before that and got pushed back. It's out now. I mean, I've heard it. You've heard it. I wanted to get your thoughts on the album. I think it's always too early to tell this early. I mean, it leaked last week. It officially released today. Ross Ross has always been a complex individual to me personally. I mean, I don't think he's ever done anything that I ever understood. He's always doing something that makes me scratch my head. This album, though, the one catch, though, is that he makes good music, and it's undeniable. And I wasn't a fan initially, but I got on board with Rick Ross at about around his second album, going into his third album. And I've been a fan ever since of his music. And you know, he came out this time around. I was a little worried, though, going into Mastermind, because he was making up with people along the way. Like, these are sworn enemies that he's had for years. Like, he's burying the hatchet with Young Jeezy, put him on the album. He buried the hatchet with 50 Cent. They were talking about getting in the studio together. He had the first release off the album was Devil Is a Lie, with featured Jay-Z. I like the record, but I don't get the impression that it really, you know, set the world on fire. And I mean, it wasn't even their best collaboration. You know, I mean, it seems like the streets liked Fuck With Me, You Know I Got It better than Devil Is a Lie. And I definitely liked, the name of the song escapes me, but the from a music standpoint, just like a lyrical standpoint, the record that they made together, that was the second track off of, what was the name of that album? I'm drawing a blank on everything right now. The second track off Teflon Don, which featured Jay-Z, Freemason was the name of that song. That song, from a lyrical standpoint, was outstanding. Specifically Jay-Z, of course, because Ross always gets murdered by, because Ross always gets murdered by his features on every single song he ever does.
It's tradition.
It is tradition, and so But anyways, I like the album, though. I mean, I like the. I'll tell you this much. I liked how Rick Ross. And this is so ignorant. I liked how Rick Ross told us exactly how much was in his checking account at the top of the album.
Please hold while I locate your information. Your checking account available balance is $92,153,183.28. This reflects the most current information available on your account.
It's on everything I love.
And then, you know, he's got the song with French Montana and Diddy. That song was cool. You know, the War Ready was all right. I like the Sanctified record with Kanye and Big Sean. And I like the record with Meek Mill at the end. What did you think of the album overall, Kenny? Give us your thoughts.
You know what? I'm kind of in the same boat with you. I liked Rick Ross. I probably got on board a little bit before you did. I liked, you know, like the everything, Every Day I'm Hustling. You know, I think that he's definitely the type of artist that can be kind of polarizing. I see when people tell me they like him, I know why they like him, and it makes sense to me. When people tell me they don't like Rick Ross, I know why they don't like him, and it makes sense to me. I think that he's, you know, with this particular album, you know, I think he's tried to do things a little bit differently than what he normally does. And that may be just a matter of, because I think that was one of the criticisms I think he was kind of receiving, was that he had the beats were all sounding the same. You know, he kept going back to the same people, Justice League and that sort of thing. And I think maybe he worked with some different producers to kind of cultivate some different sounds on this album. That being said, the songs that you named are the ones that I like. And maybe, I don't know if that's just because we grew up in the same household or what, or, you know, we share the same DNA.
Possibly. Possibly.
Maybe that has something to do with it, but, you know, the song with Meek, I love. Song with Kanye, I love. Big Sean's on there, too, I believe, on the hook. War Ready was cool. Devil Is a Lie, I didn't really care for it that much. When I actually got the album and was able to listen to it in the car, it, you know, I kind of enjoyed it a little more. You know, I think that overall, I think this album might get lost in the sauce. I don't think this is particularly a noteworthy album for him. I don't think this is something that I'm going to look back and say, you know, 6 months from now or 8 months from now, let me crack out that Mastermind. I just don't see it at this point, you know. Right now, in my rotation, I have the Mastermind album, the Schoolboy Q album, and the Currency mixtape. And right now, the Currency mixtape seems to be winning out of the bunch. And I'm still waiting to hear the Pharrell. I haven't played it yet, or the Kid Cudi. But all that being said, I think that this album, it's not an eyesore. It's not a black eye on his career, and I don't think it's necessarily going to flop. But I don't think it's going to be the kind of thing that we're going to be looking at down the road and saying, yeah, you know, Rick Ross was a special rapper. I mean, he's the guy that gave us Mastermind, you know? I just don't see that kind of... I don't think this album will have those kind of legs.
No, I think the legacy of Mastermind will be... It will be it'll be the song that I select on iTunes to have removed off of my iPhone in order to make room for something else. I think that'll be the legacy of this album. And that sounds harsh, you know what I'm saying? And I really don't intend it to be, because I'm not going to delete it out of my iTunes library altogether. It'll still stay there. But, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, after I've, you know, given it its fair amount of run, I'm like you. At this point, I don't see it having legs for a very long time. There's nothing special. I don't think there's one special record on this entire project. And to your point, he did kind of go outside the box a little bit on the production tip. I don't know. The magic just wasn't there on this album. And I think you could sense that by the fact that it got pushed back so many times. The fact that Rick Ross was making up with these sworn enemies, I thought, seemed a little desperate. He's trying to mend fences with these guys, and I don't know. It didn't feel right from the beginning. And so, you know, again, that's not saying that it's the worst album of the year, but, you know, I don't know. I think you're fair to play those other records ahead of it. I did hear the Cudi, by the way, the Kid Cudi. I heard the whole thing. I think it started off kind of strong, and then it kind of tapered off towards the end, but... You know, I have to give it some more listen. I mean, all of these things. I mean, this is why we do the Tale of the Tape on HipHopSportsReport.com. This is why we do the Tale of the Tape, you know, a month after the fact, you know, in a lot of instances. A lot of these record companies, or excuse me, a lot of these publications and stuff, they'll do these album reviews before the album comes out, literally, before the album officially drops. And I don't really know how they do that. But, you know, I like to give stuff some time. We'll see. And that Pharrell album, I don't even think – is there any rapping on that album?
To my knowledge, actually, no. I think it's going to be mostly him singing. I think that he's just in a different space right now. I think that production-wise, I think it's supposed to have, or at least it was explained to me that it has more of a very traditional Neptune sound to it. But I think it's going to be mostly him harmonizing and things like that. There may not be any rapping on the album at all. I'm not sure.
I don't think there is, but I don't think Pharrell cares right now. I mean... As lame as it may sound, I think he's pretty happy.
Come on. Ha, sicker than your average. Pop a twist cabbage off instinct. Niggas don't think shit. Stink pink gators. My Detroit players. Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn.
That's
dead right. If the head right, Biggie there. Air night. Papa been school since days of under rules. Never lose. Never choose to. Bruce Cruz who? Do something to us. Talk go through us. Girls want to us. Wanna do us. Screw us. Who us? Yeah, Papa and Pop. Close like Starsky and Hutch. Stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3. Bang every MC easily.
Take that.
Easily. Uh-huh. Recently, niggas frontin' ain't saying nothing. So I just speak my peace.
Come
keep my peace. Cubans with the Jesus peace.
Thank
with
you,
my peace. Packing. Asking who want it. You got it, nigga, flaunt it. That Brooklyn bullshit, we on it.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. I guess that's why they're broken, you're so fake. Biggie, Biggie, Biggie,
uh-huh.
Can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways.
Uh-huh.
Why
they broke and
you're so
I put hoes in NY onto DKNY.
Uh-huh.
Miami, D.C., prefer Versace.
That's right.
All Philly hoes know it's Moschino. Every cutie with the booty bought a coochie. Now who's the real dookie? Meaning who's really the shit? The niggas ride dicks. Frank White push the six or the Lexus. LX, 4.5. Bulletproof glass tips if I want some ass. Gon' blast squeeze first. Ask questions last. That's how most of these so-called gangsters pass.
Bye-bye.
At last, a nigga rapping about blunts and bras, tits and bras, menage a trois, sex and expensive cars, and still leave you on the pavement. Condo paid for,
uh-huh.
No car payment.
Uh-uh.
At my arraignment,
note for the plaintiff. Your daughter's tied up in the Brooklyn basement. Face it, not guilty. That's how I stay still. Richer than richer. So you niggas come and get me.
Come on. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so
I can fill you with real millionaire shit. Escargo, my cargo, 160, swiftly. Wreck it by your new one. Your crew run, run, run. Your crew run, run. I know you sick of this name brand nigga with flows. Girl, say he's sweet like licorice. So get with this, nigga, it's easy. Girlfriend, here's a bit. Call me round 10, come through, have sex on rugs, that's Persian.
That's right.
Come up to your job, hit you while you're working, for certain. Papa freaking, not speaking, leave the ass leaking like rapper Demo. Tell them who, take their clothes off slowly. Kill them with the force like Kobe, dick black like Kobe. Watch me roam like Roman. Lucky they don't owe me, where to say, show me,
say
homie.
Homie.
Welcome back, Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast. Thank you for listening. Jay Hicks here. With my brother and comrade and friend, Kenneth Hicks Jr., amazing author as well, should point that out. We're going to talk a little bit about LeBron, but before that, I had to get Biggie on the podcast. As you know, as anybody that's a real hip-hop fan knows, March 9th is a hip-hop holiday. I wrote about it on the website last year. Check it out, hiphopsportsreport.com. I wrote an article on March 9th of last year about why this is our holiday, and I mean, it's a tragic day, but it's a celebration at the same time. And anybody that knows how Biggie's funeral procession went down knows that it is a celebration. So we had to get some Biggie on the podcast, and yeah. So we'll go on from there. Though, I want to talk a little LeBron James. It's funny, man. A few weeks ago, again, going back to an old podcast, an older podcast, I mentioned that Kevin Durant, I think it was on our most recent one, I said Kevin Durant is the MVP of the NBA until further notice. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to further notice. LeBron has been on another planet of late, and If you didn't see, he scored 61 points on the Bobcats last night. I think my mom could drop 20 on the Bobcats right about now, the way they've been playing defense. Because they let Melo go off on them, and now they let LeBron go off on them. Maybe they'll still make the playoffs, but, you know, they'll have to face the Heat in the first round, right? So good luck with that. But, yeah, LeBron James has been on another planet right now. I think he's really gunning for that MVP award. I didn't think he would before. I thought he was kind of like, you know, playing it mellow, like you know, it's nice to win it. But and he's always been a team concept guy. That's always been his thing. I really didn't think he was gonna go for it. But the way he's been shooting the ball of late, and with the amount of shots he's been taking, and with Wade playing once a week on with Dwayne Wade on the Wade schedule. on the Wade routine right now, playing one ball game a week, it's afforded LeBron the opportunity to take more shots and to do more on offense. And frankly, that's what the voters like, because they like to see those sparkling numbers at the end of the season, you know, and it makes voting easier. To pull up LeBron's numbers really quickly, it looks like he's averaging 27.5 for the season. LeBron is leading the Heat in points, rebounds, and assists right now. He's clearly just taking his game to another level. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, who's your MVP right now, Kenny? I mean, is it LeBron? Is it Durant? Do you have some kind of mystery, you know, third person behind door number three that nobody's thought of? Or who do you have right now?
Honestly, I think it's a two-horse race. I think that you got some people who are gonna want to hand it to Kevin Durant. You're going to have some that are going to want to hand it to LeBron. If you ask me, I would give it to Kevin Durant. Again, he is my favorite player, so maybe I'm a little biased, but you know, I think that this season, he had a good run. I think it was maybe back in December.
January.
He went on a tear for, about a good, like, six, seven games. And, I think that if I had to give it to somebody, it would be Kevin Durant. You know, if somebody said, you know what, we're going to give it to LeBron, I can't really argue that. You know, I think that he's having another stellar season, as he normally does. You know, I think that when you're looking across the landscape, I don't know if there's a whole lot of other, like, truly viable candidates out there. There's people you can make an argument for, but I still think at the end of the day, it's going to be one of those two guys. And I'm hoping that when it's all said and done, the award goes to the servant, Kevin Durant.
Let's not ever call him the servant again. That's just the worst nickname. That's just the worst nickname ever. Like, he will never be known as the servant on this podcast unless he starts screwing up. when he starts throwing up, you know what I'm saying, garbage, he starts, you know, his numbers dip, he's only averaging like 15 points a game and, you know, his best years are behind him or something, then we'll start calling him the servant because he'll be trash at that point, because that's a trash nickname, KD. I don't care what you say. Yeah, I mean, if you had to put a gun to my head right now, I would probably still give the MVP to Durant. I mean, he's averaging more points for what that's worth, but he's also stepped up his rebounding and assist numbers. He's got a couple triple-doubles under his belt this year, I believe. He's played much of the year without Russell Westbrook, and the Thunder are still atop a much tougher conference, and I think that kind of breaks the tie right now. With that being said, LeBron has inserted himself into the discussion in a way that he just was not back in January or early February. I feel like when LeBron James is still the best basketball player on the planet. He's better than Kevin Durant. And when both guys are playing their best, LeBron wins. You know, so I mean, if they both finish the season at the top of their game, I see LeBron overtaking him probably, unless the voters just get tired of doing it. And let me just take a quick second to go on a tangent, because a lot of times you hear people say the voters get tired of voting the same guy for MVP, which is true. And then a lot of times they'll say, how else did Charles Barkley win the MVP in 1993? And that's, I got to draw the damn line right there, because you know Charles Barkley's my guy. He's been my favorite player since I was about 6 years old, and I stick up for the chuck wagon when nobody else does. And he deserved that 1993 MVP, damn it. And I'll tell you why. He led his team in points, rebounds, and total assists. He led his team in all three. He wasn't the point guard. He was the power forward. He left Philly and went to Phoenix, and they won, I believe, 20 more games than they won the year before. They had the number one seed out West, and he led the NBA in triple-doubles that year. And he had, it was just a career year for him all the way around, and his Suns had the best record in the NBA. He deserved MVP in 1993. My fiance is making fun of me right now, and I don't care. I don't care. The Chucks have deserved it. But anyway, I digress. Stop it. Don't make fun of me. This is why I was put here. I was put here to defend the Chuckster. So that's what I have to do. So yeah, maybe the voters do get tired and they vote KD. I don't know. But I feel like if LeBron deserves it, he deserves it. I felt like Derrick Rose deserved it the year he won it. I mean, you could have given it to LeBron, but I still felt like Derrick Rose deserved it that year. So I don't know. But one other thing I want to touch on as far as LeBron is concerned. He's supposed to be coming back this weekend to see Zydrunas Ilgauskas. And when I say coming back, I mean coming back to Cleveland to see Zydrunas Ilgauskas' jersey retired. This is an interesting story because obviously LeBron and Cleveland have a lot of history. Zydrunas and LeBron also have a lot of history. They were teammates for 8 years, for 7 in Cleveland and for 1 in Miami. This was supposedly Zydrunas' request was to have LeBron at this ceremony, and LeBron, who's going to be in, they have a game against the Bulls in Chicago, I believe, on Sunday night, and so LeBron's going to jet over to Cleveland on Saturday and sneak in for this ceremony for Zydrunas. Now, you know, Kenny, you and I, we're both Clevelanders, obviously. We love Z coming up, or at least I did. You know, I mean, not that he was the best player, but, you know, he was a Cavalier through and through, that guy. And he was one of our guys. We drafted him. He stayed with the team. I think there was a stat, like, when he was, like, in his 12th or 13th year, there was, like, a stat, like, the longest tenured players with their current team. And it was, like, Kobe on the Lakers and Z with the Cavs. Like, that was the list. And, you know, he became himself a part of the Cleveland community, and the fans really took to Zydrunas, and he may not be the best player, but he's going to get his jersey ran up there anyway, which, you know, you could debate on whether or not you could debate the merits of that all day. But the fact that LeBron is going to be a part of this event, you know, he's going to take all the attention away from Z, whether he intends to or not, and I think he's aware of that. But Z wants him there. How do you feel about the Cavaliers allowing him to come back under these circumstances? I mean, I got to be honest, I'm not crazy about it. I mean, we're allowing LeBron, we as in Cavs, I'm speaking as a Cavs fan here, we're allowing LeBron to have his cake and eat it too. He left the team, and when you left the team, you left the team. Like, that was your choice, but now we're kind of allowing him to come back, and, you know, maybe he's going to feel a little nostalgic. Maybe he's going to want to, I don't know, re-sign with the Cavs in the offseason. I think there could be some ulterior motives at play. I'm not saying for certain that there are, but I something doesn't feel right to me. As a Cavs fan, something doesn't feel right about LeBron coming back. And I got to tell you something. I don't think he's going to get booed. I think he's going to get booed some. And I think he's going to get cheered a lot. I think he's going to get cheered far more than he ever has before in Cleveland on Saturday night. What's your take on all this, Kenny?
Well, you know, first of all, yes, I think exactly the same thing. It crossed my mind, you know, what kind of reception is this man going to get walking back into this building? He had a lot of good memories there. He did a lot of good for our team, you know, in his tenure. He holds pretty much all of our records. at the same time, you know, the way he left and just the spitefulness that it seemed to be involved in it, the pettiness that seemed to be involved, I think that we've reached a time now where tempers on both sides have calmed down, cooler heads have prevailed. I think that Dan Gilbert is still planning some ulterior motives here. I think that I don't see how this event could unfold without Dan Gilbert crossing paths with LeBron. That being said, I'm thinking that there's going to be some kind of olive branch of sorts. You know, I don't know if it's going to be a big, you know, full-on embrace hug or anything like that, but I think there'll be just some moment there in that building on that night that lets LeBron know that he might be welcome back if he ever found it in his heart to want to head back on home. I think that the fans will cheer him. I wholeheartedly think that that's going to happen. Not necessarily it's going to be all cheers, but I think that he will get more cheers than anything else. Also, because of the fact that we have to keep in mind that Jildrenis Ilgauskas actually has a role in the organization. He is, I forgot what his official job title is, but he actually still works for the Cavaliers organization as kind of like a special assistant or something like that. I don't know if he just helps the bigs or what exactly his occupational duties are, but he works for the team. So that being said, for him to put in the request, as it were, for LeBron to be in attendance for his big night, he understands what that would mean as far as overshadowing him, as far as, making things a little more tenuous between the fans and LeBron. You know, he understands what this all means, and so does the organization, and so does LeBron. I think that it's going to be a very interesting moment. I personally do not want him there. Honestly, at this stage, I don't care if he ever comes back. I think that the organization, they may have some wishful thinking that maybe any little opportunity that they can provide to maybe get LeBron a little nostalgic and teary-eyed may work in their favor when he sits down and actually really evaluate his future, which I think that will be predominantly based on the results of this season in the playoffs for Miami. You know, if Miami were to implode, if Dwayne Wade were to, his legs finally gave out for good or something, I don't know, then LeBron may sit down and say, you know what, I need to really start thinking about my future and where I'm going to reside and where I'm going to play. I could care less, honestly. I don't care if he comes back to Cleveland for anything ever in life, but that's just me. But at the end of the day, I think that it's going to be a very interesting event. You know, salute to Big Z. He's been a staple of the Cavaliers organization, and he's been a class act in the community. And I met him once, great guy. And, you know, I have nothing but the utmost respect for him. I just don't think that having LeBron there is of benefit to really anybody.
We did meet Z. We met Z at Sushi Rock in Beachwood.
We did.
A couple quick things I want to touch on, and then we got to get out of here because we're like way over on time. But you have to look at a couple of different factors. And I agree with you as a fan. You know, if LeBron comes back to Cleveland as a fan, I'm going to cheer for him because I'm a Cavs fan. And I was a Cavs fan before LeBron. I'll be a Cavs fan after LeBron. I'll be a Cavs fan when LeBron comes back. That's just the way it is. But I don't really want him to come back, and because he made his decision, and that's fine. I have more pride than that, and maybe it's foolish pride, but I think that's what Clevelanders backed up Dan Gilbert for when Dan Gilbert wrote that letter, and that's why Cleveland fans embraced Dan Gilbert and helped him build that freaking casino downtown. It was because we stood by that guy because he was the only one that was man enough to stand up for Cleveland when nobody stands up for Cleveland ever. Cleveland's always the butt of the joke, always gets the short straw. He stood up for Cleveland, and that's why everybody rocked with Dan Gilbert after that. I mean, this is kind of going the other way. I mean, this is kind of, you know, we're losing our edge as far as our town pride is concerned, I think, a bit. You know, our pride is taking a hit a little bit if we allow LeBron to come back and if we, the fans, welcome him with open arms. So I think that that's something that we need to keep in mind. The other thing is, like you said, Zydrunas is a class act. He's always... You know, he'd do anything for this franchise. I mean, the way he came back from those foot injuries early in his career, the way he got traded to the Wizards and was no hard feelings, immediately took a buyout and came right back to the Cavaliers in 2010. He seems like the type of guy that would do anything. And even if it meant having his personal event overshadowed a bit by LeBron, if it helped mend fences between Gilbert and James, I think that that's something that Zydrunas would be willing to do. I wish we could talk more, but we're still way over on time. I got to get this thing edited and posted ASAP. I want to thank Kenneth Hicks for joining us on the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast. Please hit us up at hiphopsportsreport.com, on Twitter at HHSReport. We're always working on new things. I got a logo in the works that's coming soon. I got a few other ideas of what we're going to do to expand. That's coming as well. Kenny, is there anything you want to plug real quick?
Not a whole lot. I do have a novel, though, that is actually in the works. It should be coming out pretty soon. It's called Natural Life. I would love to go into details about it, maybe at a later time. You know, like I said, it is a novel, though. My name is Kenneth Hicks. You can find me on Twitter. That's author_K_Hicks. You can find me on Twitter. Like I said, books will be coming pretty soon. And that's about it.
All right, thanks for joining us this evening, man. I love you, and we'll definitely get you on the podcast again. We'll get you on the podcast to talk more, you know, football or basketball, whatever, sports, hip-hop, whatever. But we'll also get you on the podcast to talk about that book when the time is right. Thank you for joining us this evening. Thank y'all for listening. I think we're going to get out of here with some more Biggie, y'all. We love you. We always love Big Papa, right? We out of here, y'all. Peace.
A nigga never been as broke as me. I like that. When I was young, I had 2 pair of leads. Besides that, the pinstripes and the gray. The one I wore on Mondays and Wednesdays. While niggas flirt, I'm sewing tigers on my shirt and alligators. You wanna see the inside? I see you later. Here come the drama. Oh, that's that nigga with the fake. Wow! Why you punch me in my face? Stay in your place. Play your position. Here come my intuition. Go in this nigga pocket. Rob him while his friends watching. That hoes clocking. Here comes respect. This crew's your crew, or they might be next. Look at they man, big man, they never try. So we roll with them, stole with them. I mean loyalty, niggas bought me milks at lunch. The milks with chocolate, the cookies, butter crunch. 88, Oshkosh and blue and white duck. Ask Slut.
Sky is the limit, and know that you keep on. Just keep on pressing on. Sky is the limit, and know that you can keep on.
I was ashamed, my crew was lame. I had enough heart for most of them. Long as I got stuff for most of them soft. Even when I was wrong, I got my point across. They depicted me the boss. Of course, my orange box cut to make the world go round. Plus I'm fucking bitches ain't my homegirls now. Start stacking, dabbled in crack, gun packing. Nicknamed Medina, made the scene, took my Nina. From gym class to in glass, passed off for global. The only nigga with a mobile. Can't you see like total? Getting larger and wasting taste. Ain't no telling where this spelling is heading.
just in case. Keep a shell at the tip of your melon, clear the space. Your brain was a terrible thing to waste. 88 on gates, snatch initial nameplates, smoking splits with niggas. Real life, begin to kill us. Praying God forgive us for being sinners. Help us out. Master enterprise, and I ain't have to be in school by 10. I then began to encounter with my counterpart to how to burn the block apart. Break it down into sections. Drugs by these selections. Some use pipes, others use injections. Syringe sold separately. Frank the deputy. Quick to grab my Smith & Wesson like my dick was missing. To protect my position, my corner, my layer. While we out here, say the hustler's prayer. If the game shakes me or breaks me, I hope it makes me a better man. Take a better stand, put money in my mom's hand. Get my daughter this college plan, so she don't need no man. Stay far from timid, only make moves when your heart's in it. And live the phrase, sky's the limit, motherfucker. See you chumps on top.